Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, so all that we have invested, we lay all on the line tonight. For us, together, for each other, all right? The journey starts tonight.
We'll try to tie this game
619-639-4747 if you want to join the conversation. Guy, I don't know what it is, but for whatever reason, I think this thing is working, but there's no bounce back in the ear set. So work with me, guys. If I'm praying this is working. Everything looks like it's working just fine, but it's really kind of hard to tell from this end because I just can't hear myself. So anyway, we'll assume that you guys can hear me, and that's all that really matters. So I'm just a bill laying here at Capitol Hill. But then again, that would be just way, 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 way too funny. Let's see. All right. To the world of college football. Let's get this. You know, there's really no reason to belabor this. I know there's a lot of people out there who really, really hate the fact that Notre Dame is good again. I even posted yesterday that the college football is better when Notre Dame is good. There's no other way to look at it. Probably because they're the most fun team to love or the most fun team to hate. It's just the history, and it goes all the way back to the 40s with Frank Leahy, all the dominance, and of course, they really, really offended the masses with the new NBC contract for television rights, and that was when they were bad. Well, guess what? Now they're good, and they're real good. Last night's game, if you didn't see it, 22-13 win over USC. In typical Notre Dame fashion, give up a lot of yards, but defense raises up inside the red zone and does what that defense does. It looks a lot like your 84-85 Bears 2000 Ravens defense and just puts a clamp on that end zone and nothing seems to get across that goal line. I don't know who your choice is for the Heisman Trophy, but if it's not Manti Te'o, you got to find me a better player in college football right now. So let's run down it. All the wonderful scores from the world of college football. Number 25 in overtime, Washington takes care of Washington State. Oh, I take that back. Oh, I am mistaken. Washington State pulls the upset, 31-28. Number 24, Arizona loses to – was this the afternoon of the upsets for the lower-tier teams? Arizona loses to Arizona State, 41-34. Kansas, 28-6, winner over Ohio. Connecticut upsets Louisville, 23-20. Ohio State, again, unfortunately, the best team in college football that will not get any love whatsoever, takes care of number 19, Michigan, 26-21. Number 18, Rutgers falls to Pitt, 27-6. Texas falls to TCU. I think these teams, maybe they've just kind of folded up the tents in light of their aspirations for great seasons. Number 14, Nebraska, and a snoozer, beats Iowa 13-7. And I say that kindly. In a more entertaining game, Oklahoma 51, Oklahoma State 48. That's 13 taking care of 21. Number 12, South Carolina, maybe the best best 8-2 or 9-2 team in football, taking care of Clemson 27-17. Texas A&M 59 points on Missouri, just rolling. UCLA loses to number 8 Stanford 35-17. Number 7 LSU a 20-13 win over Arkansas. The number 5 ranked Oregon Ducks have their complete national title hopes completely dashed now with Notre Dame's victory, obviously. Oregon 48-24 over Oregon State. Again, that was 5 versus 15. Number Florida 37 over Florida State, 37-26. And it was also a very, very entertaining game. Keep in mind, Florida was down that game, had to come back to win that game. That's again Florida's hopes largely dashed. They were rooting for USC last night. That just didn't happen. Georgia, number three, still in the hunt. A 42-10 winner over Georgia Tech. Number two, Alabama, just paced Auburn 49-0. And, of course, number one, Notre Dame, 22-13 over USC. So what does it mean? Well, it certainly means Notre Dame's in the national title game. That's a given. That's done. That's forget, no more conversation. The question is, who will be number two, Alabama or Georgia? And here's the conundrum. They have to play each other next weekend in the SEC title game. I don't know where you're at or where you're going to be, but if you're a football fan of any kind, you will find yourself in front of somebody's big screen at somebody's sports bar to watch Alabama, Georgia. Now, there are those people in the Roll Tide community who simply think that Alabama's just going to go in there and roll. And there's some Georgia Bulldog fans out there that believe that Georgia has something to prove. And I think this is going to be – this arguably maybe a better game than your national championship game will be. Alabama can score. Georgia can score. Both teams have solid defenses. It's going to be a Donnybrook. If you thought Alabama and LSU was good, wait till you see Alabama and Georgia next week. That is going to be a lot of fun. Updates around the rest of the world of sports real quickly. Basketball, Andrew Bynum out indefinitely. The world of I'm not sure exactly why a Cuban is mocking LA fans, but we don't have enough information on that. Penn State attendance falls. That was kind of to be expected. The Cleveland Browns have canceled the white flag promotion. Yeah, they're playing the Steelers, so I guess you figured they'd do their own version of the terrible towel thing, but that's been canceled amid some sensitivities, obviously, around the whole thing. So go figure. All right, let's move on. 11 past the hour. Good morning to you. It is time to talk, all sports, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball. But ultimately, we get back to what is going to be an absolute amazing, Thanksgiving weekend, that's what you want to call it, in the National Football League. Now, are we at week 12 or 13? Because I think I may be a little off here. I'm pretty certain this is week 12. Pretty certain. But I'll tell you what, how about I just go look? Yes, this is week 12. Okay. Because I was going to go on this big rant about week 13 and the potentials, but it is week 12 in the National Football League, so rock and roll. All right, to the world of the NBA. Running down the scores is always fun, but it's never as much fun as looking at standings and looking at fallout, okay? So, is what it is. Last night, Golden State takes care of Minnesota 96-85, Sacramento 108-97, the Bulls take care of Milwaukee 93-86, the Lakers 115 over Dallas 89, Miami a 110-108 winner, Atlanta 104, Clippers 93. That's a kind of a bit of a surprise. Charlotte a 108-106 winner over the Wizards, and OKC continues to roll 116-109 over Philly. Well, there's your scores. Okay, I really, really don't know what else to share with you in terms of the NBA because the NBA is not fun right now. It's not really a ton of fun right now, and I'll tell you why. Because none of this seems to matter until we get to February. You know, when we start to see who's going to match up with who in the playoffs, and think it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. I can tell you that the Knicks are 8-3. The Brooklyn Nets, Jay-Z's team, 7-4. Milwaukee and the Bulls, 6-5, 6-6. You know, no one cares. Miami's 10-3. That's to be expected. Oklahoma City, 10-4. The Lakers have suddenly started figuring it out. They're back to 500, 7-7 now. Clippers are 8-5. Memphis Grizzlies have played really, really well. They're 9-2. Followed closely by the Spurs at 10-3. That's just a couple of percentage points difference for the first in that division. And that's it. That's the story from the National Basketball Association. So if you're an NBA head, well, get you some tea, get some fresh coffee, and relax because it doesn't matter for another month or so. Okay, just enjoy the athleticism and the fact that Ray Allen is still playing ball. All right, to the National Hockey League now, 13-13 past your hour. It's hockey, and it's been in a lockout for a while now. They've just canceled games all the way through December 14th. It is a sad state of affairs in the NHL. Whether you're a hockey fan or just a pure sports fan, anytime a sport that you love is lockout, you know, it's not. Don't get caught up in the hype about it. It's the money. The people who lose are those of us who really enjoy the games. We're the ones who are kind of hung out there to dry, just because that's a piece of our what we've largely called our fabric that is basically void at this point. It is. It is nice to see that many of the players have gone to other countries to enjoy the game that they love, but it's obviously not the same. You know, the level of play at the NHL level, especially coming off the last couple of years, even especially since the 2010 Blackhawks who won the Stanley Cup, you know, hockey had become a ton of fun. a ton of fun. You know, regular season hockey was pretty standard, but there's nothing like playoff hockey. I said it. I stand by it. I follow the Blackhawks. I follow the Calgary Flames. I follow Edmonton, Ottawa, Winnipeg, the LA Kings. The bottom line is it's a great game. It's a fun game, and we need to get it back. So at some point, you hope cooler heads prevail, that someone gets their head out of the tuchus, and we get back to doing what they do best on the ice, which is going up to 40, 50 miles an hour, guiding a puck, and somehow sifting it through a very wide body into a very small net in a very highly skilled game. And that's my love for the NHL today. And I wish, hopefully, that these guys get that thing sorted out quickly, because if we lose another season, the NHL could be in a serious hole for not only with its fan base, but because, again, we are fans. It was just like we hated the baseball strike in the 90s. We ultimately came back to the game. We would come back to the game. Don't even kid yourself that we'd somehow have that kind of horsepower to say we're going to turn our back on it. You can make the statement, and you'd have every right to do so, but you're not turning your back on hockey. Yeah, the game is too good. When it's played and played well, it's really too good. It's a lot of fun, and we would come back. But we do have to make a statement to some degree, at least to get these owners. And not so much the players. The players just want – it's a lot like the NBA. They just want their fair share. That's all they want. And the owners are being the owners. So anyway, Gary Bettman does need to go, but yeah, you can record that and play it back for him if you see him anywhere in the New York or Chicago area, because I'll stand by that one. To Major League Baseball and the hot stove season that is now getting ramped up there. Not that a lot of you are really focused on that right now, but if you get a chance, go out to ESPN, check out MLB's page, where David Cameron identifies three players coming off what were disastrous seasons and should really, really bounce back. Let's see. A couple of FYIs. David Freese crashes into a tree while he's avoiding a deer. Hope he's all right. Yankees Kuroda is going to stay with the Yankees. Takes a pay cut to be there. The Red Sox and outfielder Johnny Gomes agree to a new deal. According to Mark Burley, the Marlins lied on multiple occasions. Check out that video as well. And Gale Harris, may he rest in peace, dies. He was the last New York Giant player to hit a home run. And I'm not sure. This story kind of just came across the wire. Ex-Cub infielder LeHair signs with Japan SoftBank. Hopefully he's just playing winter ball there, because I thought he was one of the young talents that the Cubs had that was supposed to be making some noise next year. Sean Figgins' time with the Seattle Mariners is over. And again, you can find all the bounce-back candidates. Baseball this year, well, kind of left us with a bit of a thud. I mean, you thought when the Tigers and the Giants got the World Series, we're going to get, you know, 6-7 really good competitive games. And I'll say it, and I'll stand by it, our Tigers laid down. They just laid down and let the Giants have their way. And you couldn't have written a worse script for the Tigers getting swept in the World Series. But that's why you play the game, is what it is, and we move forward. 17 past your hour, only on the fastest 60 minutes of sports. Let's move on. Fantasy week, NFL, National Football League, week number 12. I can give you your rankings now if you want. It's a bit early. We're about 8-9 minutes early on the rankings. Human interest story, sidebar. For those of you who were not paying attention this past week in the world of sports, we lost one of our greater champions once upon a time, Hector Macho Camacho, who died recently. He was actually shot last Monday, was deemed brain dead from the incident, and his mother made the determination to take him off life support. So if you ever get a chance, just look up Hector Macho Camacho, do a Google search or somewhere on the internet. You'll see all the flamboyancy, all the flash, but behind all that, all the skill. And I know that many of you have checked out the shows about stopping the violence in this world, and I know it has to start with each and every one of us, one at a time. But it's always sad when one of our heroes or one of our people that we enjoy in the world of sports makes that transition at such a young age. He was 50 years old, and again, just full of life and enjoying it. I don't know all the details, but sad loss in the world of boxing in that regard. Also, from the world of entertainment, Larry Hagman, you all know him as JR. JR has passed away. Passed away the day after Thanksgiving on this past Friday. He was 81 years old. So Larry Hagman from the world of I Dream of Jeannie and, of course, more famously known from the show Dallas, has passed away as well. All right, so that's enough of the obituaries. Let's move on and get back to it. Let's just go ahead and do the rankings this week and get into more fun things on Week 12 in the National Football League. We always set aside the most time because, again, that is the game. Okay, and every fall, yours truly gets into more and more trouble because it's football, baby. It's football. Now, quick sidebar before we hit the NFL. Kudos to Crete Mony High School, 6A state champions in Illinois high school football, taking care of Calgary Grove. Is that what it is? I don't want to say Cary Grove last night. I did not get the score. I just know that there were fire trucks touring the team back. It was a major celebration. Crete gets its first state title. Kudos to all those who played on the Richardson Park Raiders years ago who all went to Crete High School. Anthony Cephas, Jason Burgess, all those kids there. We watched you guys grow up. It's a wonderful thing. Congratulations on the effort, on the championship. And now Crete, of course, on the map. And again, it was always a great program. It's nice to see now that you guys are able to finish. Also, kudos to Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel getting it done in the 8A championship last night against Glenbard North. For those of you who got a chance to watch those, all those games were on Comcast Sportsnet. And if there's anyone that I forgot in my blast, by all means, give me a call, 619-639-4747, or hit me on Facebook and let me know that your school has done something special. All right, 20 past the hour. Let's get into your fantasy stats and your fantasy rankings for who you should be starting or sitting as we are the pregame show before the pregame show. So in about 39 minutes, for those of you NFC fans, you'll be able to hit all your NFL coverage on Fox. For those of you looking for AFC, you'll hit CBS, and all your AFC games will be there, and they're going to run throughout the day. For those of you looking for the Sunday Night Affair, that'll be on NBC, and of course, Monday Night's Affair is on ESPN. All right. To your rankings, we start with the defense today. Top 10 defenses ranked purely based on the matchup, and if you've got them, you want to start them on your fantasy roster. Number 10, Green Bay going, again, at the Giants. I'm not sure about that one, but okay. Number 9, the Minnesota Vikings playing in Chicago against the Bears. Number 8, the Carolina Panthers at Philly. Number 7, the Ravens at San Diego. Number 6, the Cardinals playing home against the Rams. Number 5, the Steelers at Cleveland. Number 4, the 49ers at New Orleans. I don't know about that one. Number 3, Seattle at Miami. Number 2, the Chicago Bears at home playing Minnesota. And number 1 this week, the Denver Broncos at Kansas City. Now, for those of you who want to know why, I will humbly tell you why Denver is ranked higher this week than Chicago. Because Chicago is playing Minnesota, and Minnesota has a little running back named Adrian Peterson who has a history of running over the Chicago Bears. And the Bears have proven in the last 3 weeks that you can run on them. You can't throw on the Bears well. You cannot. Not with Tillman and Jennings, but you can run it down the Bears' throat. I hate to say that as a Bears fan, but it is a fact. Now, the Denver Broncos sit at number one because you've got what arguably could be the defensive player of the year in Von Miller, and a Kansas City team that has largely imploded. That Kansas City team was supposed to be something special this year, and they have literally farted on themselves and continue to do so week in, week out. I don't know how Romeo Crennel will hold on to his job. He's a really, really nice guy. He's a great football guy. But each time he's tried to coach, be the head coach, it has just flopped on him. He seems to be awesome as a coordinator, seems to really struggle as a head coach. And again, for such a nice guy, maybe it's not for nice guys. Maybe you need to have a little edge, a little arrogance like Lovie Smith to survive 8-9 years in the National Football League. Again, Bears 7-3, Green Bay 7-3, Lions 6-4. It's getting dicey. That division is starting to thicken up again. And the Bears made it really easy by drubbing their toe against Houston and literally laying an egg against the 49ers. So I would have loved to see them split that. If they could have just gotten one of those games, we'd probably feel a little bit better right now. So again, while the Bears are favored to win today against the Vikings, they got to stop Adrian Peterson. All right, there you go. So there's your defensive love. Now, to your kickers, for those of you who have kickers in your league and will start them this week, your top 10 kickers this week, and I got a feeling I know this list almost blindly, but here we go. Number 10, Matt Prater in Denver. Number 9, David Akers of the Niners. Number 8, Robbie Gould of the Bears. Number 7, Phil Dawson in Cleveland. Number 6, Connor Barth in Tampa Bay. Number 5, Sebastian Janikowski in Oakland. Number 4, Justin Tucker in Baltimore. Number 3, Blair Walsh in Minnesota. Number 2, Matt Bryan in Atlanta. And number 1, Lawrence Tynes of the Giants. Now, here's the deal with kickers. This is what's important. This list is almost always driven off the matchup, not the strength of the leg, because everyone in the league knows kickers like Greg Zuerlein and Sean Swisham have big legs. They're not in the top 10 purely because of the matchup. It's purely because of the matchup. All right? That's your concern now. And if you're in a playoff hunt in your fantasy league, you will pay attention to those matchups. All right? 24 past the hour. We move on to the tight ends this week. Number 10, and actually there are two 10s. Well, 10 and 10A. 10A, Kyle Rudolph, Minnesota. Number 10, the other 10, Martellus Bennett of the Giants. Number 9, Greg Olsen of the Carolina Panthers. Heath Miller of the Steelers comes in at number 8. Number 7, Jermichael Finley. Number 6, Jermaine Gresham in Cincinnati. That's a fun young man to watch. Number 5, Antonio Gates. Number 4, Brandon Myers. Number 3, Vernon Davis. The Niners, number 2, Tony Gonzalez, Atlanta, and number 1 for God knows how many weeks in a row, Jimmy Graham. Why? Because he gets thrown to by Drew Brees, and that is reason enough for your tight ends. To your wide receivers today, and again, only if you got them. If you got them, you start them. If you don't have them, just avoid the hype, avoid the mess, okay? Wide receivers this week, number 10, Steve Smith in Carolina. Number 9, Jordy Nelson in Green Bay. Number 8, Randall Cobb from Green Bay. Number 7, Victor Cruz of the Giants. Number 6, Vincent Jackson in Tampa Bay. Number 5, Demaryius Thomas in Denver. Number 4, Brandon Marshall of the Bears. Number 3, Reggie Wayne of the Indianapolis Colts. Number 2, Roddy White. And number 1, and actually this isn't really much of a surprise based on the matchup, A.J. Green out in Cincinnati. All right, there's your wide receiver love now to what should be arguably a good day for all these guys who tote the ball. Your number, week 12 rankings for your running backs. And what is going on? We're stalling. Why are we stalling? We shouldn't be stalling. All right, here we go. Rock and roll. Number 10, Matt Forte of the Bears going up against the Vikings. Number 9, Jamal Charles against Denver. Number 8, Trent Richardson against Pittsburgh. Number 7, C.J. Spiller. Number 6, Chris Johnson at Jacksonville. He should have a huge day. Number 5, Ray Rice at San Diego. Number 4, Marshawn Lynch, beast mode himself, at Miami. Number 3, Frank Gore at New Orleans, because New Orleans can't stop themselves. Number 2, Dougie Martin at home against Atlanta. And number 1, and this is purely on matchup and history, and I'm sorry, Bears fans, this does not surprise me. Your number 1 running back pick this week, Adrian Peterson. Okay, he's got history. I'm sorry, Bears fans, he's got history of, well, let's just call it a ton of yards. I believe there's a 300-yard game in there somewhere of just rushing alone. So I know it hurts. I know it's painful. But if you don't stop that guy, it's going to be a really long day. Just an FYI, Percy Harvin is not playing in that camp today. He's got an ankle issue. So Vikings are missing one of their major weapons today, which, again, the Bears will need a little bit of help, I'm sure. But if Jay Cutler, who was cleared to play, plays today, if he plays today, and there's no reason to think he won't, things could go all right. You know, the Vikings secondary doesn't scare you. If you can, get a little help for Jamarcus Webb on the left side against the pass rush of the Vikings, you might have a nice day. You never know. All right. Anyway, enough about that. To your quarterbacks. Number 10, Eli Manning of the Giants. Number 9, Colin Kaepernick of the Niners. Number 8, Josh Freeman of Tampa Bay. Number 7, Andy Dalton. Number 6, Cam Newton. Number 5, Andrew Luck of Indy. Number 4, Matt Ryan of Atlanta. Number 3, Drew Brees going up against the Niners. Number 2, Peyton Manning. And number 1 this week, and I'm not sure if I think 1, 2, and 3 probably could be flipped here. Number 1 this week rank-wise is Aaron Rodgers going up against the Giants. That's in New York. I think I probably would lean more toward Peyton Manning. If I've got Peyton Manning, Denver at Kansas City, knowing how Kansas City's been porous, I'd probably look at Peyton Manning that way. But the rankings are the rankings, and we don't usurp the numbers. They are what they are. So Aaron is number 1, Peyton's number 2, Drew number 3, Matt Ryan number 4, Luck 5. So there you go. Those are your rankings for this week's fantasy football love for those of you who are concerned about it. The fastest 60-minute sports rolls on at some point right after this. What? Wait, where's my button? Where's my button? Give me my button. Button. Who's got the button? Back in a minute.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Getting the whole family ready for high-definition TV is easy with Turbo HD by Dish Network. You get more TV for less money, including Disney's Channel HD with hit series Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, and The Sweet Life on Deck. With over 120 HD channels available now, there's something for everyone. And you'll love the savings. Packages start at just $24.99 a month. Call today and get HBO and Starz free for 3 months. To get Disney Channel HD today, call Dish Network.
All your documents, photos, movies, and music at your fingertips all the time. That's the power of the cloud. That's the power of HP WebOS. HP, everybody on.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mm.
Germany?
Mm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mm.
Or Mars?
It,
what about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet.
Mm.
Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip? Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's mmm to you. Lipton tea can do that.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
That is still one of the funniest things you will ever, ever hear in radio or in television. Back on the ride, the fastest 60 minutes of sports. For those of you who may be a little too young to remember, just maybe, there was a show some years ago called WKRP in Cincinnati, and they had a simple holiday episode of regarding Thanksgiving on WKRP. You can find this on Hulu. You can find it on YouTube. It's still one of the funniest things you'll ever see. In an era where radio personalities were dominant, and we had Dr. Johnny Fever, and of course you had the one brother played by Tim Reed, who was always too cool for the room, and then you had the program manager Andy Travis, who played by Gary Sandy, always had to have the tightly fitted shirt on because he was always trying to get next to Jennifer Marlowe, who her real name fails me right now, but again, she was the bombshell. Lonnie Anderson was that bombshell back then. But that clip where they do the whole dropping turkeys out of the sky thing, if you've never seen that, never heard that, you've got to see it. And he always concludes with this line.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
I'm sorry. That is, you got to see it to understand it. Some of you may be really too young to understand it, but go check out the WKRP in Cincinnati episode. Again, whether it's on Hulu, whether it's just do a Google search for it, you'll find all the links to it. That will be one of the funniest things you'll do for yourself for the holiday season. It'll just make you laugh. All right. Courtesy of our friends over at ESPN, the Mike and Mike Show, the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Blacks, come to you courtesy of Peak Antifreeze. Again, this is an ESPN radio exclusive. We just get to share in the wonderful nature that is the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks for the Thanksgiving edition. Check it out.
These are the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, an ESPN radio exclusive.
Hi, Colin, here we go for a Thanksgiving Day edition of the Locks. And my motto for this week is, they've been begging to get beat. And they're finally going to. The Houston Texans have not been the same team on defense since they lost Brian Cushing.
Yikes, that's a recipe for disappointment.
They're going on the road, short work week off an overtime game that almost went 75 minutes. And the Lions have every reason to be angry and home.
Wait a minute! What is this with Lions? I can't go to the Lions. I cannot go to the Lions. Oh, no.
I like the Lions in this game. Lions getting 3 points. I actually like the Lions to pull off a Thanksgiving Day surprise.
Oh, my God, they're talking!
Give me the Lions plus +3, and I'm taking Detroit for the win.
One, two, three.
Okay, I have a motto this week as well.
I could really care less about these games. I just want a lot of good food.
Another 8-4 will be the number one pick in the
I'll pick a game anyway. And I'll take New England over your J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. I know the Jets need this win to try and make that run at the postseason. New England coming off just a whooping of the Colts. They lose Rob Gronkowski for a while with the broken arm. New England given 6.5 on the road, but I like them on Thanksgiving.
Where's the mashed potatoes? Where's the cranberry sauce? Where's the pumpkin pie?
This is the last game of the night. I'll be full. My belly will be full. My pants will be unbuckled, and I'll be stuffing pumpkin pie down my pie hole.
Don't you know anything about Thanksgiving dinner?
And then finally we go head-to-head on the Cowboys and the Redskins and go like, I don't know why, but I'll take the Cowboys. I haven't given up on the Cowboys this year, even though for every possible reason I should.
I told you what they were going to do out there. I told you what type of team they were.
They looked so bad at home last week, knocking off Cleveland. It was ridiculous. Any other team should have lost that game. Tony Romo absolutely needs to be throwing passes. They've lost faith in him. He's lost faith in himself.
I hit way over my head. I got punched in the face and it hurt.
I've lost faith in the Cowboys, and yet, on the short week, at home, on Thanksgiving, I'll take the Cowboys giving 4 to RG3.
I thought it would work. I planned this thing right down to the last detail. It was perfect.
Sound reasons for you to take the Cowboys. I'm going to go with Washington on the road. I'll take those 4 points. RG3, 4 touchdowns last week.
I haven't even finished eating all my Halloween candy.
Washington looks good in their win on the road. I think they can get it done in Dallas, and I'm getting 4 points. Are you kidding me? That's a steal. I'll take Washington.
As God is my witness. I thought turkeys could fly.
And those are your Thanksgiving Stone Cold
Flats! Thanksgiving is this family's favorite holiday.
Yeah.
Wait, it's not?
No way. Check the rankings. It goes my birthday, Christmas, Halloween,
Easter,
Hanukkah,
Snow Day,
Fast Night,
Black Friday, then Thanksgiving.
Love Black Friday.
Black Friday before Thanksgiving?
Yeah!
Wow. Good stuff. The Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, courtesy of our friends at ESPN Radio, Mike and Mike in the Morning. Thank you, guys. That's awesome. Unfortunately, your pick's not so good. Of course, they record this well before the games were played. So let me run this down to you. For those of you who weren't paying attention on Thursday's games, the Lions, who easily should have taken care of Houston, found a way to lose that game in overtime, 34-31. RG3 and the Skins did get it done against Dallas, 38-31. New England never let the Jets get up off the carpet. That game was over early. It was 49-19 was the final in that one. Something to look forward to. Let's run down these guys real quick and give you some little prognostication for those going to the window today at 36 past the hour. Your 1 o'clock games today, Minnesota at Chicago. On paper, Chicago should win this game. Of course, you don't play the game on paper. You play it on a field, and the Bears don't stop Adrian Peterson. It won't make a difference because Minnesota will come out of that game on top if they're not cautious. And I think I alluded earlier. I think I may have said that the Lions were 6-4. I was mistaken. I misspoke. I apologize. It was Minnesota that is 6-4 in that division, again, facing Chicago in the 1 o'clock affair on the East Coast, which would, of course, be noon here in Middle Earth. We are coming to you live today from the Chicago market. Over the last, of course, 11 weeks off and on, we've been coming to you from all over this wonderful North America, whether we're in Calgary, whether in Phoenix, and doing what we do. So today we're actually in the Chicago market, and thank you all for being such a phenomenal audience, phenomenal people. And has anyone looked at Colin Kaepernick's arms and understood what that tattoo really is? Not that, you know, anyone would have cared, but since the man started starting for the 49ers, his arms are thoroughly exposed, and there's a bunch of writing, and no one has ever been able to figure out exactly what all of it says or means, but I'm sure Colin knows, and he hasn't cared to share, even though they're fully exposed. But enough about that. We'll get back to that probably for next week, once we figure out what the heck that actually is and says on his arm. All right, so game number 2 in our 1 o'clock affair, Oakland at Cincinnati. On paper, again, Cincinnati should win this game. Carson Palmer, you know, I feel bad for Oakland. They gave up a first and second round draft pick to get Carson Palmer. They've got a good quarterback. They've got a decent running game, but they can't seem to get out of their own way. Cincinnati should win this game at home. A.J. Green should have a field day. Andy Dalton should have a great day today. And you may even see a Green Ellis sighting in the running game for Cincinnati today. So we're saying Chicago won. Cincinnati wins that game. Now we get Pittsburgh and Cleveland. This is the fun thing about Cleveland. They're a bit of an anomaly team because they'll play really, really well for three quarters, and then they'll find a way to spit on themselves. It's almost like the baby that gets the bad milk. Looks like it's really fine. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, just pukes up on your nice $500 outfit. Yeah, that's the Cleveland Browns. They're at home. And, again, Pittsburgh will be starting Charlie Batch. There is no Roethlisberger. There is no Byron Leftwich. So why not? You know, I'm not ready to say Cleveland's going to win the game, but they'll give them a game. Cleveland's defense is not as bad as advertised, and that said, Cleveland can make it close. I mean, I don't know what the point spread is, but if Cleveland gets more than 4 or 5 points, yeah, take Cleveland in the bet, but I think Pittsburgh wins the game. Buffalo at Indianapolis. This is the Andrew Luck show, largely. Buffalo's defense was supposed to be highly touted and very, very good. That has not been the case. They've been giving up lots of points. Luck is as advertised, and Reggie Wayne is as advertised. So look for the Colts to take care of business in that 1 o'clock affair. Denver at Kansas City. This should be the Peyton Manning show. Kansas City can't figure out what they're going to do on quarterback. They've got Jamal Charles, but no one on that O-line seems to want to block for him like they did a year or so ago. Peyton Manning is having a player of the year kind of year. He's introduced the world again to Brandon Stokely and Demaryius Thomas. There's no reason to think that Denver, even though the Arrowhead Stadium is going to be the loudest at the outset, I would venture by halftime it'll be incredibly quiet. Denver should take care of business there. Denver's spouting one of the best defenses as well in the National Football League. So if the season were to end today and you had to pick two teams to go to the Super Bowl right now, the AFC representative would have to be the Denver Broncos. And I know when the season started and it was going to be Peyton Manning and we weren't really sure what version of Peyton Manning we were going to get, people were thinking it was going to be the Steelers or the Ravens or maybe the Patriots. Well, guess what? It's coming out of the AFC West, and it truly is the Denver Broncos. They're good on both sides of the football. They could surely true up their special teams game, but beyond that, that's a really solid football team across the board. They should take care of Kansas City today. The other 1 o'clock affair, Seattle at Miami. Well, Miami seems to have stubbed its toe again, can't get out of its own way. Seattle, with Russell Wilson at the helm, is a little bit of an exciting team. They seem to have at least 3 to 4 big plays a game, and a lot of times those 3 to 4 big plays get them over the hump. Can they win this game? Certainly. Can Miami raise up and play great defense? They're very, very capable. But in the end, I think Seattle gets it done. Again, don't know the point spread. If you're playing the point spreads, this isn't your show. If you just want to know who's going to win, I'm telling you right now, the Seattle Seahawks take care of business. Another 1 o'clock affair, Atlanta at Tampa Bay. Now, I'm not a fan of the Atlanta Falcons. I think they're the most plastic one-loss team in football. But that's just my opinion. Matt Ryan is Matt Ryan. You know, I love Michael Turner as a running back. Roddy White is great. Julio Jones, great. Josh Freeman and Vincent Jackson, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, have something to prove in this game. And it's that division is not completely decided as of yet. And the only way they get that done today is to put a beat down on the Atlanta Falcons today. Will it be easy? Of course not. Atlanta's talented. But Atlanta plays that really soft, finesse kind of game. If Tampa Bay and Dougie Martin decide to smash mouth this game, they can beat Atlanta. So me, Vinny Moore himself, am telling you and I'm calling it Tampa Bay and an upset. And I know that look is on your face, Dalton, Illinois. I know that look is there, that this is the game you want to bet me on. That's fine. I'm cool with it. I'm calling you on the carpet. California, I'm calling you on the carpet. Tampa Bay pulls the upset over Atlanta today. All right? Bank it. Got a question? You can call me, 619-639-4747, or you can hit me on Facebook at the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Either way it goes. Tampa Bay shocks the world today, takes out Atlanta. The next 1 o'clock affair, Tennessee-Jacksonville. This would be one of those who cares games. They have to play it because it's on their schedule. Tennessee should take care of Jacksonville. Jacksonville, one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. You know, Maurice Jones, I hate to say he's going to fake injury, but the bottom line is you're playing for your paycheck. There's nothing else. You're building toward next year. Hopefully those guys are doing some true soul searching and finding out what they've got to work with for next year. The afternoon affairs, the 3 o'clock games, Baltimore and San Diego. You know, once upon a time, this is going to be a really, really good game. You know, which version of Flacco are you going to get? Flacco on the road is terrible. I don't know why that is, but he does not do well in the passing game on the road. But he's got Ray Rice, and San Diego has an issue stopping the run, so you know Baltimore will be in this game. Phillip Rivers against that defense without Ed Reed could be a bit of a challenge. It's a one-game suspension for Reed for the hit last week against the Steelers, but we'll see how that plays itself out. And for my gambling sake, I'm going to lean a little bit toward Baltimore just because the roughhousing and the physical nature of which they play against the finesse Chargers. Of course, you know, that one's obviously more of a toss-up. I'd like to see the Ravens win that just because I want to see the Ravens go deep this year. But don't be surprised if Phillip Rivers starts finding Antonio Gates and starts finding Malcolm Floyd, and before you know it, if the game gets over 24 points, then Baltimore's definitely in trouble because Flacco is not the guy that's going to bring you back. The next late game. And what one that should be the most entertaining game of the afternoon, San Francisco against New Orleans. If you like offense, you may really, really get off on this one because the Saints defense can't stop anybody. They can't. They can't stop themselves. I mean, that'd be like Oh, see, I almost said something really, really inexplicably wrong there. It'd almost be like having an upset stomach and not be able to stop the flow. How about that? See, that was politically clean. That was clean, okay? The Niners will play well on offense. The Saints will play well on offense. Both will put up. The Niners have a great defense, but I don't know, as good as that defense is, if they are ready for Marcus Colston, Lance Moore, Drew Brees, and the weapons the Saints possess. And this game is in New Orleans, and that is important for this argument. It's indoors, and things are a lot faster indoors. The next afternoon, for, by the way, I think the Saints actually shocked the Niners in this game. Yep, I said it. I'll stand by it. The other late game, St. Louis at Arizona. Well, this will fall in the category of who cares now, since Arizona's really fallen off the map since their 4-0 start. But if you like the Rams and you want to see a good effort out of a young team that's still learning, Jeff Fisher's got those guys playing really, really hard. They're just not that talented right now. Arizona's got some talent. They can't get out of their own way with their quarterback issues. Arizona at home, okay, I give them that. It'll be a tight game. Don't be surprised, though, if the Rams find a way to blow the Arizona Cardinals out at home. I don't see it, but Amendola, they've got some weapons, big-time quarterback, and Arizona has no real quarterback decision made. They've got a quarterback disaster in Arizona. So, no, you know what, this will probably come down to 24-21. You know, let me just get my head right. And I got a feeling that'll probably be Arizona taking that game from the Rams. All right, the Sunday night affair, Green Bay at the New York Giants. Aaron Rodgers going into the Meadowlands against Eli Manning and the same team that took them out of the playoffs when they were 15-1. Think someone might have a chip on their shoulder, just maybe. The Giants doing what the Giants always do, trying to right the ship just in time for a big playoff run. I could see this game coming down to whoever has the ball last. If the Giants have the ball last, then absolutely you got to love Eli's chance. Eli is becoming the king of comebacks. If it's in Aaron Rodgers' hand, yeah, that's pretty good space to be in these days. Aaron Rodgers may be arguably the best quarterback in the National Football League, next to Drew Brees and right now Peyton Manning. Let's look at your standings at 46 past the hour. Your Giants are 6-4 with a 1.5 game lead over. How's that possible? Oh, that's right, because they've already played over the Washington Redskins, closest to them. Now, here's the deal. The Giants are 6-4 and are kind of somewhat poised to run away with the division. It's not as if you have a lot of faith in the Skins, the Cowboys, and certainly the Eagles have just imploded on themselves, unfortunately. Andy Reid's job is in danger. Michael Vick's position is in danger. They just have not played. They're 3-7. And it's hard for me to say that the Philadelphia Eagles are 3-7 with LeSean McCoy, Michael Vick, a solid coach, a decent defense. You're 3-7. It's time to rebuild. The NFC North looks like this. Green Bay, Chicago, both at 7-3, but Green Bay holds a tiebreaker, so they sit a couple of points ahead in that regard. Minnesota, 6-4. Of course, the Lions, 4-7. That's why this game, the Bears and Vikings, is so important. For Minnesota, it's a chance to get into the playoff picture. For the Bears, it's a chance to reestablish what was once a dominant season, and you were controlling everything. Again, got to stop Adrian Peterson. The NFC South, Atlanta at 9-1. Plastic against Tampa Bay in second place at 6-4, three games back. The division is not in hand. Should Tampa Bay find a way to get this done today? Should they find a way? They close that gap down to 2, and they'll own a tiebreaker over the Atlanta Falcons, and that would be huge. They have won 4 straight. Why not? All right, I like Tampa Bay to get it done. The Niners, 7-2-1 atop the division, uniquely enough by what would be the equivalent of 2 games. Actually, it's 1.5 because of the tie. But Seattle has won 2 straight, playing better, solid defense, putting some pressure on the Niners to hold serve. So we'll see how that plays it out. The rest of the teams, Arizona 4-6, the Rams 3-6, 3-6-1. Again, they were the team that tied with the Niners. Not a lot going on. Hopefully they're just learning how to win in those particular programs. To the AFC, New England's 8-3. That division is largely done. They've got literally four games clear of the nearest team. Yeah, they've won 5 straight. New England is doing what New England does, getting ready for a nice, strong playoff run. But then again, as has been proven of the AFC, they get deep in the playoffs, and a team that's won 6-7 in a row starts to find a way to stub its toe. Let's see where that stub actually happens. Let's hope it happens in the playoffs and not necessarily in the regular season because, again, not a fan of the way I love the way Belichick builds, but not a fan of the way he treats some of his players who've been there with him. The way they treated Green Ellis last year after the run and bounced him out of there was just reminds you a lot of what they did with Corey Dillon after they won a Super Bowl. I guess it's just that you don't want to highly pay your running backs. You feel like they've got a short shelf life, so you just bounce them and feel like you can just plug the next guy in. Well, Stephen Ridley's done well for them. If I'm Stephen Ridley, I'm probably worried to a modest degree about what this means, because I'm probably not going to be around much longer if New England has one of those great runs and wins it big, because they're not going to pay Stephen Ridley. Sorry, they just don't pay running backs in New England. All right, to the AFC North. The Ravens are 8-2, Steelers are 6-4, Cincinnati 5-5. No, none of those three teams are out of that hunt. Okay, the Ravens are sitting in the catbird seat. They've won three straight, but Charlie Batch has a way of finding ways to win. The old gray beard played a lot of his years with the Lions, and he's still a good quarterback. He's been inactive most of the season with Roethlisberger being healthy and Leftwich being the backup, but now it is Charlie Batch's show today. I got a funny feeling he's going to blow off the dust off the gray beard and show up. So to the AFC South, the Houston Texans 10-1. That still nauseates the crap out of me, but that's not because I despise the Houston Texans. It's just because teams have found ways to let the Houston Texans get back into it. Indianapolis is 6-4 and is in line. This is the fun part about the AFC South. The Indianapolis Colts are in line for a playoff bid. And they're not going to win the division. I mean, the Texans are 10-1, but they can get into the playoff picture. And that by itself is exciting for a team that was supposed to be rebuilding. Remember, Peyton Manning was gone. Luck was in his first season. They're not supposed to be 6-4. They're supposed to be 2-8. 3-7, but that is not the case. He's got them playing really well. Some of those guys, Mathis, those guys have found the fountain of youth and are playing well. So, to the AFC West, well, Denver Broncos 3 games clear of everybody. Everyone else in that division is under 500. This is Denver's division. They've won 5 straight. It's their division to control. Kansas City again completely imploded. Oakland's imploded. San Diego is on life support. So go figure. 9 minutes. 9 minutes left in the ride. I've talked your ear off about the National Football League because that's what I do. I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Again, for those of you getting ready for your NFC coverage, you're headed to the Fox networks. For those of you looking at your AFC games, you're heading to CBS. This is the pregame show before the pregame show. I am your host, Vinny Moore. I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Hope you all had a happy and safe Thanksgiving. Hope you all are getting geeked up and you're not too broke after Black Friday sales, and you're going to have yourselves a great – oh, by the way, for those of you still trying to get to Richardson Park, still trying to get out here to Mokena on December the 7th for that party, if you have not RSVP'd for that party and not reiterated that you're going to be in proper attire for that party – you're going to be disappointed at that door. My understanding is that, and again, I've come back here to celebrate life, celebrate what – guys, I'm actually turning 50, and it still doesn't set with me that I'm actually turning the big 5-0. I think that tagline on the site that says, you know, he's turning 50, still acts like he's 25 is very, very true. I still think that I can do those things I did when I was 25 and 30 years old. Now, my body will tell me, oh, dog, that's not going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. But I still believe, and maybe that's the difference. I still believe. I still believe that it's good to have some energy. It's good to have some passion. It's good to have some drive. So to all my friends all over this glorious continent, I love you guys. I appreciate you. You mean the world to me. I look forward to seeing all of you on December the 7th at Denolfo's at the party. I have no idea what the committee's put together for it. I just know that I'm supposed to be there. Oh, for those of you curious, because I know there are a few of you, I do have my outfit. It is a decision that's been made. It is, I ain't gonna lie, y'all, I look good in this. I look good, all right? So I am ready to have this great this event, this night, December 7th. Yours truly will be 50 years old. And, you know, it's funny. I need to make a quick side comment. I think I mentioned this, may have mentioned it last week, but you know, one of my mentors, Mr. Leo Cowan, passed away on November the 5th of this year. He was 91 years old, and Leo Cowan by far was one of the nicest men I'd ever met in my life. He was the most kindest, gentlest guy. He never said an ill or bad or negative thing about anybody in the 26 years that we knew each other and hung out. The kindest, nicest soldier you would ever want to meet. And I'm thankful for the 26 years we had. I'm thankful for all of his family for everything they've done to make sure that his home going was done appropriately. I do hope to get down to my hometown of Galesburg, Illinois, and pay the proper respects to that man. I was out of the country when he passed away, and unfortunately wasn't notified in a timely fashion to get down for the service. But I am so incredibly thankful for the season that we had together, and so incredibly thankful to him and all of his family for the love and kindness they've shown me over the years. So may he rest in peace, Leo Cowan, 91 years old. All right. To the family in Richland Park, I love you. Nothing you can do about it. To my friends all over the city. To Dalton, moments in time. Love you. Nothing you can do about it. To California, I don't know what you're wearing, but whatever you're wearing, remember, you probably have to going to be wind up wearing that all the way to Puerto Rico on the next morning. So just keep that in mind. All right. To Oregon, the Ducks laid an egg, unfortunately, and shot themselves in the foot. But I love you, and I can't wait to see you in December. To Galesburg, Illinois, the stomping ground. The stomping ground where all this fun stuff started at WVKC 90.5 FM. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. With five left in the ride, I don't think there's anything else for us to talk about, is there? I don't think there is. I think we can shut a lot of this stuff down. I don't want to talk about the NFL anymore because I love it way too much. I'm far too passionate about it. But the bottom line is my boys need to take care of business today and stopping Adrian Peterson. Eli needs to take care of the Green Bay Packers so Bears fans can breathe easy, at least for one more week. And we need to all be a little bit nicer to each other, be a little kinder. My brother JC, may he rest in peace, simply always said, learn how to smile and be kind to each other. That's my greatest hope for your life. That's my greatest hope. I love that man, and I love you too. Guys, that's going to do it for the fastest 60 minutes in sports today. I think we's done, man. I think we is done. Is there anything else we need to do? Anything? Nothing? 13 seconds. What, that? I don't know. Okay, I'm going to play this. Guys, I have no idea what this is going to sound like, so I'm just going to play it and see what happens. Here we go.
The following broadcast is a presentation of the Raiders Youth Football Radio Network and the Fast.
Seriously? That was fun. That was great when we were doing youth football. That was great. This isn't youth football. It's the NFL. Okay? We're not doing Raiders broadcast yet. That's coming down the line. We're working on that one. Okay? So we'll work on it, and we'll get right back to you. Okay, that was really a bad parody from Family Guy. We won't do that one again. You want me to do the Wake Up Leona? Okay.
Wake up, Leona! This decrepit Hooverville is infested with something besides idiots.
Who the hell do you think you are?
Okay, you're having a little bit way too much fun in the last 3 minutes. You can always tell when the content has already run its course, now everything's done, and now you're just filling time. Dude, let these people go, man. Let them get back to their day. Seriously? Oh, that's funny. Where's it at? No, we're not doing Whitney Houston. No. Look, we're done. We're done.
You are spectacular.
I'm aware. Thank you. You are far, far too kind. Far too kind.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Okay, we're done. Thank you, everyone, for being part of the Fast Six in Sports. Thank you for just being who you are. I hope you all had a safe holiday. I hope you're having a great holiday season. Be frugal, be generous, but be smart with your resources. It is the holiday season. Happy holidays, everybody. We'll talk to you all again next week, only on the Fastest 60 Minutes Sports. God bless y'all. See you soon. You're goofy, man. This is silly.